Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Amen. So today, we're going to begin reflecting on character. And I called it character first, and I came up with this. And then, as you do, you Google such things, and I realised there's actually a website, an organisation. I don't think they're called Character First, but you could Google them. Character First, and they are committed to providing curriculums or curricula to educational establishments, schools and colleges, to teach and to train particularly young people in the importance of good character. It's an American thing, but they list great long lists of good characteristics, good character points in that they teach. But I've deliberately called it character first, because I recognize in our lives we can often put other things as more important. I recognize that the same is true in the church as well. The people who are noticed so often, we don't notice them because they have good character, but perhaps we notice them because they're talented. Isn't that true? Or we notice them because, I don't know, all sorts of other reasons. But character is not always the reason why somebody's noticed, why somebody is regarded as significant or successful. And it's not often, I guess, that we would set as our New Year's resolution, okay, this year I'm going to work on my character. I want to be more loving this year. I want to be more caring this year. But we'll set all sorts of, I don't know, how many of us have set a New Year's resolution, not this year, obviously, but some previous years to, you know, go on a diet? You know, it's nothing to do with character. We might have to demonstrate character and steadfastness and commitment in doing so. But I've deliberately called this character first. Character is what counts. I really believe that. Character is what counts. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when the Apostle Paul has written a passage about love, at the beginning of the passage he basically says, look, I can have all the greatest gifts in the world. If I haven't got love, you know what it says? Three words, I am nothing. He doesn't say my gift is nothing. He says, I am nothing. But what he does, he has what we know as chapter 12 talking about gifts, and then chapter 14, or what we know as chapter 14 talking about gifts. And in the middle, he places a chapter or a section on character. And at the end of that section, chapter 13, he talks about three characteristics: faith, hope, and love. He says the greatest of these is love. It is the greatest thing, the highest calling, to aim for love. So that as an introduction, that's why I've called it character first. And today particularly, going to reflect just for a few minutes about character and motivation. Character and motivation, two different things, but they impact and influence each other. Character is about the who. Character is about who I am. Some people might talk about the essential me. The essential me, the inner person. This is who I am. Something that we do need to note is that character is not fixed. Character is not fixed. And I need to say that because it may be that you were told once you were greedy. Ever been told you're greedy? Ever been told you're selfish, self-obsessed? The reality is that that comment may have been true at the time, but that does not mean that you're greedy today. It doesn't mean that you're selfish today. It may, but it doesn't mean that you have to hold that characteristic and say, oh, well, that's me done. You know, there's no hope for me. Character is not fixed, but character is about who we are. Have any of you done Myers-Briggs tests? I'm not going to ask you anything about them. Any of you done the Enneagram? Are there any others? You know, there's the Myers-Briggs personality test. This is about personality. Well, the Enneagram is about personality, preferences, and so on. And a lot of companies do Myers-Briggs personality tests or Enneagram personality tests because it's important that people understand who they are, what their preferences are, and so on, and particularly how they respond to others. But here's the thing. Whatever results you get on a Myers-Briggs personality test, whatever result you get on an Enneagram, it is not fixed. It's not fixed. Just because today, or 10 years ago, or whenever it was, you had something lodged in your mind, in your heart, this is who I am. Not fixed. Character is something that grows and develops. But character is about who we are. It's about who we are. Now, motivation is about the why. Why I do what I do. That's what motivation is about. Why do I do what I do? Why do I act in a particular way? In a particular given situation, why do I react in that way? And more often than not, we're exposed by our reactions rather than our actions. Put somebody under stress, put somebody in an embarrassing situation or a difficult situation and see how they react. And then you find out, what's your motivation? Why are you doing that? Why are you reacting like you react? Why do you say those hurtful things? Why are you so dismissive? Why are you so angry? But also, why do you respond with love? Why do you respond with care? and kindness. Motivation goes to the question of why. Why do I do what I do? And we can ask, what is my motivation in life? You know, what turns me on? What inspires me? What drives me? So we've got those two elements. There is the character, who I am, and the motivation, why I do what I do. And character and motivation powerfully influence each other. So the who I am powerfully influences the why I do what I do. If I am, in terms of my character, if I am loving, you see, it'll influence why I do something in a particular way. If I'm forever angry, that's my character, that will influence why I do things in a particular way, why I react in a particular way. But the opposite is also true. My motivation in life will influence my character. You know, every so often we hear the stories, and this is kind of a bit of a dramatic story, I know, but every so often we'll hear news about families, couples, individuals who've won the lottery. And I don't mean win the lottery as in the UK, but in the United States, sometimes, have you ever heard of this? You know, they win the lottery and the prize is like $100 million or something. Have you heard of them? You know? And there was one family just a few years ago who it was made public, I can't remember, $130 million or something they'd won somehow. And this man was on TV and he was speaking very eloquently and clearly about his motivation in life. And he said, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tithe my lottery winnings. I'm going to give 10% to God because I'm determined that I will live right. And it was a really impressive an interview with this man. I can't remember how, but a year or so later, that same family was in the news. The man had got divorced. A couple of his children were drug addicts. One had died from his drug overdose. Another child, I think, was in prison. And you think, what happened? What happened? You see, the motivation for living had dramatically changed. And that motivation for living, what they live for, what they inspired, why I do what I do, changed. And their character changed. Their character changed. If our motivation changes, our character can change. And sometimes, if not most often, if we want to change our character for good, we need to change the why. We need to change our motivation. Why do I do what I do? We need to sort that out. But we have these two elements. We have character and motivation that powerfully influence each other. Now, our example is the Lord Jesus, and we do need on this first Sunday to think about and reflect on the Lord Jesus. In terms of character, in terms of motivation, we do need to think about the Lord Jesus. And not to speak about the Lord Jesus in some ethereal kind of way, you know, some unrealistic way, but we do need to think about the practical, as I've said, the down-to-earth reality of his life. And this is why I've said to folk, look, you know, as we seek to follow Jesus, what should you do? You should reflect and meditate on the life and teaching of Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to reflect and meditate on the life and teaching of Jesus. And then, as far as we're able, we need to try to start imitating the life and teaching of Jesus. We need to change the motivation in our lives. The why do I live as I live? We need to look to Jesus. And that will transform our character, little bit by little bit. And we can ask about the Lord Jesus. Why did he act as he did? Okay, here's a question for you. Was it character or motivation? Was it the who he was or the why? Why did Jesus act as he did? Anyone want to dive in? Who's going for character? It's who he was. A couple of you. Who wants to go for the motivation? It was what inspired him. Oh. You're not very sure about this. Anybody else want to comment? Oh, isn't that good? Yes, okay. Character and motivation, I think. It is about character. It's about who Jesus was. Now, we need to be careful. We should never say of Jesus, oh, well, it's all right for Jesus. He was the Son of God. You know, it was easy for him. We should not say that. You know, over Christmas, we read from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. You know what it says? The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. And the Gospel writer is trying to say, look, folks, he is God, but he became flesh. He became just like you and I, with all the weaknesses and temptations that you and I face. There is no excuse, no difference. We shouldn't set him somehow above us, but we should understand he walks with us. So we should never say, oh, well, Jesus, it was all right for him. You know, we may say that about other people sometimes. You know, it's all right for them. But my life's tough or difficult or whatever. And I think character, who he was, it did matter who he was, but that is tied into his motivation. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, and 16 and 17, Jesus makes very clear, why do I do what I do? I do it to please my Father. That's my motivation. That's my why in life. And really, character and motivation, the influence and tie-in with each other. And as I reflected on it, I thought, no, they do tie into each other even for Jesus. It is the who and the why that is so important for Jesus. And as we reflect on the practical, down-to-earth reality of the life of Jesus, there are examples that we can draw out. When a leper comes to Jesus, the untouchable of his day, and begs Jesus, heal me. If you can, heal me. And we're told Jesus was moved with compassion. We see the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Even on the cross, as Jesus had been treated so badly, Father, forgive them. Jesus shows love and kindness. The way Jesus, as you read through the Gospels, note how many times Jesus listens to women. Now, that for us, we might think, well, so what? You know, but in the first century, it was not done for Jesus, for a rabbi, as he would have been regarded, a teacher, a Jewish teacher, a teacher in the Jewish tradition. It would have been done for a rabbi to be seen listening to a woman, spending time with a woman, teaching a woman. And yet he did. And what he's doing, he's showing such beautiful kindness. And it comes out of his character, but it also comes out of his motivation. And so we can read and reflect on the and meditate on the life, the teaching and actions of Jesus. And understand for Jesus, it is both the character and the motivation that's important. But how about us? If we are to transform our character, where do we begin? What do we do? We read a few moments ago, but the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Oh, no, first of all, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. Reviewing our motivation. When Jesus is asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer is given, and it is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus places this love, the three loves, love of God, love of neighbor, love of yourself, right at the heart of a life that is heading for eternity. Loving God, loving neighbor, and loving yourself. You may have seen, some of you, a number of, I saw it outside a school yesterday, a big banner, love your neighbor. Have any of you seen these banners that have been going up? Love your neighbor. I've seen them outside some churches as well, but it was a school near Birmingham yesterday. I saw it, love your neighbor. And it is a great message to communicate. Let us love our neighbors. Let's love one another. And it's biblical. It's truth. And we need to love our neighbors. But that's not where Jesus starts. He says, love God. Love God. When we love God, we understand I am not the center of the universe. There is another who created me. There is another who is my Father. And the world revolves around him and his great love. Love God with your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And then love your neighbor. But love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. We could extend that and say, love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. So love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, you look after yourself. You acknowledge that you are important. You need to look after yourself. You need to care for yourself. You need to give yourself time to store up everything that you need for your own life, to be who you want to be who you long to be your very, very best. You look after yourself. But you love yourself in that way, but then you love your neighbor. You want all of that for your neighbor. You want all of that for those who are close to you. And so the first thing is to rethink our motivation and say, okay, is it possible for me to rethink my motivation and to go for this and to say, what does it mean for me to love God, neighbor, and self? What does that mean for me? We review our motivation because that will impact our character. And then, this is where I got ahead of myself, transforming our character. We read earlier, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes these words, I think quite deliberately picks up, but the fruit of the Spirit, not the gift of the Spirit. And if you're anything like me, there are many times I've prayed, oh God, give me patience. Give me more love. Make me kinder, Lord. And what I mean is, now, right now. But what we read here, the fruit, oh, crikey, I've got to wait. got to wait for it to grow. It's going to take time. Yeah. You're right. It's not like a gift we get for Christmas. I've got that one sorted. You know, it is fruit. It's going to grow. And that requires us to live in a particular way with particular motivation for week after week after week after week, time after time after time after time. And character will grow, but it will take time. And the chances are you don't even notice it yourself. That's such an annoying thing, isn't it? You know, you don't notice it yourself. Others will notice. But it's because your motivation has changed and you've made love of God, love of neighbor, love of yourself as your focus. I want to live for love. It will take time and it will take commitment. Now, some of you may say, well, hang on, I'm just drawing to the end here. Some of you will say, well, hang on, you know, I've tried. And basically, there are elements of my personality that are so way out, you know, so out there, that I'll never be changed and I'll never be transformed. And I want to say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. One of the most difficult things I find in my life, not just now, but I have for years and years, is I recognize, you know, in terms of my thinking, in terms of my behavior, in terms of my attitudes, yes, in terms of my motivation and so on, is I recognize that I was brought up with certain motivations as normal, certain attitudes as normal, certain ways of thinking as normal. There was a framework I lived within as I grew up. But then as I've grown, I'm married and I've had children, I've taken on responsibility and I've grown in myself and I've developed in all sorts of different ways. The biggest challenge I face is breaking out of the old way of thinking, breaking out of the old way of behaving, breaking out of the old attitudes. And that's tough to do. And sometimes we have to revisit some stuff and we have to say no to it because we want to say yes to good character. Now, I'll touch on that more in the ensuing weeks, but I want to mention, yes, I do recognize that. So there are some aspects of our character we find very difficult to change. But it is about motivation and character. Our example is the Lord Jesus. May God pour out his blessing upon us as today we reflect more on Jesus, as we focus our hearts and our minds upon him. The Bible encourages us, fix your thoughts upon Jesus and then fix your eyes upon Jesus. Let him be your motivation. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness towards us. Gracious Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. We pray that you would give us the courage to have a little look at our own motivations, what drives us, what inspires us, why we do what we do, why we react as we react. And Father, for many of us, all we can do right now is just be honest, be open before you and say, Lord, here I am. Would you help me on my journey? That my motivation, the why I do what I do, might just slowly be changed. That my character, the thing that really matters, my character might be transformed. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Bless us and help us. Each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.